This tape is entitled, I Testify. What you're about to hear are the real testimonies of real healings from the people who experienced them. Here's the testimony of Joyce Palmer from Utah.
Steve, I was introduced to lymphology last July of 1989, and I was up in the Uintas hiking, and I sprung my ankle, and I was in severe pain. It took me 4 hours to get off the mountain, and when we did, I was taken directly to Dr. West's home, and he used lymphology on my foot, and in 45 minutes, he completely took all the pain out of my foot with lymphology, and I was never off of it again. And to me, I know it works. It's fantastic, and I deeply appreciated what Dr. West did for me.
Well, how bad did you sprain it? What happened?
It didn't cost me a dime. That was great.
That's wonderful. How did you sprain it?
I fell up into the Uintas, almost fell off the face of a cliff, and twisted my ankle. I couldn't walk on it.
You couldn't walk on it at all?
Well, I kept walking because I was on top of a mountain, and I had a strong prompting that if I stopped walking, that I wouldn't make it off the mountain. And it took 4.5 hours to get off of the mountain. And when I stopped walking, the swelling and the pain was so severe that it was excruciating. And it was about a 2-hour ride from the Uintas to Dr. West's house. And in 45 minutes, all the pain was gone, and I was able to stand and walk on my foot without any problems. I had bruises, and it was red and swollen, but it was fine.
Oh, that's wonderful, Joyce. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just think that it's a great gift that, I don't know that it's a gift, but it's a great, what would you call it, technology or form of healing that's come forth. And I 100% believe in it, and I think everyone in the world needs to know how to use lymphology.
Well, thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
You take care.
Okay.
Bye. Now we're going to hear a testimony from Gloria from Florida. Gloria, would you like to share your testimony with us?
I sure would.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm more than happy to. Well, up until the time I was 14, I was never sick a day in my life, and when I was about 14 and a half, I just did a flip-flop, and my health started going downhill from there. And by the time I was 15, I had to have some major surgery, and when they opened me up, they found that my female organs was in the shape of a 55 to 60 year old woman, and I was 15 at the time. And of course, you know, I was told I'd never have any kids or anything like this. Well, at 15, I wasn't thinking about having kids, but you know, when I got married, I did. And but I still continued to go downhill. I had severe pain, hemorrhaging all the time, and they just couldn't do anything with me, so they started doing surgery, you know, removing pieces here and pieces there, and trying to keep me alive and not take everything out because of my age. As the years went on, my health declined. I became more and more incapacitated, and it just seemed like I went from one thing to another. I went from the female trouble to kidney troubles, blood problems. My blood count was just low all the time. I hemorrhaged all the time, and nobody could do anything for me, you know, just, well, you know, we don't know why things are this way, but you just have to function the best you can with it. And then, so between, I'd say, 1972 and 1976, my health continued to go down, and I was getting progressively worse. I was getting weaker as time went on. More and more difficulties. I had every few months I was in the hospital with another major surgery, always with complications, always with hemorrhaging. And again, we just don't know what's causing this, you know, that my body, my insides were getting old much quicker than my natural years. By, I'll say 1986, I was having severe pancreatitis attacks, you know, like every 2 to 3 weeks, until in 1986 it was just seemed like that from there on, I was in a constant attack. I was in severe pain, vomiting every 20 minutes around the clock. And nobody could do anything for me. They just said, we did this to her, and there's nothing we can do to help her. They tried to just basically sustain my body with IVs and pain medication, and because of, you know, weight loss and all this, they gave me stuff called Hyperal and packed lipids and all this, because I was literally dying of malnutrition on top of the pancreas attack. And that was my life. They just told me, this is what your life is going to be. You know, just one attack after another. I was in the bed more than I was out. I literally was to the point that I couldn't function at all. In fact, my mom had to quit her job in order to stay home to take care of me. It was either that or they said I had to go to a nursing home. I was in the hospital, was not expected to live. And through these circumstances, and I got in touch with, or the herbalist got in touch with me, and in fact they came to the hospital at midnight to start trying to do something for me, and at that point we started just the oil treatments, the olive oil and the castor oil and, oh goodness, I can't remember what the other one was.
Yeah, the wheat germ oil.
Wheat germ oil, right. And my blood count was down to 2. Before we started these.
Your blood count was down to what?
2.
2?
2. They kept threatening blood transfusions because my doctor said, you're going to have a heart attack just from the lack of blood. But I was afraid of them. I figured they already gave me hepatitis. I didn't need AIDS. And I just kept refusing. I said, I'm not going to take it. You know, I wasn't going to do that. But my blood count, it just kept dropping. They could not. They gave me everything as far as, you know, pumping all kinds of medicines, chemicals. There's been more chemicals pumped through my body. I could probably float a battleship of different, from, you know, from everything from painkillers, antibiotics, artificial body, you know, stuff to build my body up because I couldn't eat, couldn't keep anything down. And like I say, this time I was in, they said I was bleeding internally. And from one point, but that stopped, but my blood count was still going down. To this day, they don't know what caused that. But anyways, blood count was down to 2. And I was basically, medically, I would say, I was checking out of this world. And Steve Buck came up, talked to me, presented some more information to me. And he had my mom start coming to the hospital and rubbing me with these oils and things several times a day. The nurses and stuff, we sort of had to sneak to do it because, you know, regular medical hospitals, they're just not into natural medicine, so to speak, you know, and herbs and nature's healing ways, really. You know, if you can't put it in a pill or put it in a shot, then it isn't any good. I think most of the medical profession believe. But I'm here to tell you that I would not be here today if I had not gotten on this, went through the mucusless diet, started out with the drinking, the going on the liquid fasts, the juices, the different juices to cleanse the body. And then started on the herbs and the all just natural foods, and getting off of literally all the poisons that, you know, through what we always thought was nutrition, getting my body cleansed from all that. And but my doctor had told me, go, you know, make your will, because you're, you know, we're going to send you home, but basically they said they were sending me home to die. At least they said I could be in comfort of my own home.
How much time did they give you to live?
I got out of the hospital in the end of, I think, September at this point. I had been in for 2 months, came out a couple of days, went back in for several weeks, came out for a couple of weeks, went back in, you know, and then I was in again for like 5 weeks this time, and they just said, we cannot do anything for her. And so, you know, I come home, I got my will together and everything, And because at this point I'd gotten on some of the herbs, but I was still throwing up all the time. I was throwing up more than I was able to keep down. And I think this slowed the process down. Not that it wasn't working, because when I came out of the hospital, I couldn't keep anything down. But after I went on the first fast, and I think it took like five to seven days before I could keep the herbs and the juices down on a more consistent basis to where it could really start working in my body. But anyways, I got out of the hospital the end of September, and they told me I wouldn't live till Christmas of that year, which was, okay, 1988. And obviously this is March of 1990, and I'm very much alive.
Yes.
I'm most grateful to be alive, you know. But I'll be honest, when this was all first presented, it sounded a little crazy. I'm, you know, you're thinking, you know, these medical doctors have been doing things to me for 20 years, you know, and everybody, but the baseline, they do all these terrible things, make me worse than I was before, and then tell me there was nothing they could do to help me. But when I talked to them about the herbs and the juices and stuff, and they told me, oh, it was all wives' tales, this isn't going to, you know, you can do it if you want to, but it isn't going to help, you know, they really weren't, most of them weren't in agreeance to this at all. But my medical doctor says, try anything, you know, and I was willing to do that. Took several months going on and off of the liquids and going on to, you know, the vegetables and the wheatgrass and, you know, stuff like that, eating things like that. And then I would go through another series of the fasts before my body started really responding. But it seemed like once it did, I could just, by leaps and bounds, I saw people that had seen me, you know, say maybe 2 months before, and they could not believe the change that they saw. They said, the last time I saw you, I wouldn't have thought you would have lived long enough for them to get home that day, you know. And they said, now you look like a totally different person. I started gaining weight, and the pain was starting to, you know, it wasn't gone, but it got to where it changed enough that it was more tolerable. I quit throwing up. My skin changed. My hair changed. Even the color of my eyes changed. And I believe that it's because of getting all those poisons out of my body. And I'll make a little confession here. There's been times that I've slid back, you know, and you think, well, it's not going to hurt to have a little, you know, cake and ice cream or something. But it got to where when you've been off of all that stuff that's poisoning your body, and then you turn around, you go off of it, you get your body all cleansed, and you put it back in, it acts almost like a poison. That, first off, sweet tastes so bad that it almost makes you sick, and that, you know, putting the other, you know, like say cake, ice cream, maybe fried meats or something, I found out I just couldn't do it because my body could not stand it. And I would just go right back, and I'd go through, you know, if I did do that, I would go back on the herbs and the juices to do like maybe a 3-day cleanse to get all that stuff flushed out of my body. And you can tell the difference. I can see the difference. Like I say, I have people that have said, you look 15 years younger, but it's because my body wasn't under that constant horrible pain and the vomiting and the just, you know, I felt like there was a chainsaw inside me ripping my insides apart. The pain was so horrible. But when the pain started to, you know, changing, because it changed, it was a long time before it started lessening, but the pain changed to where I could tolerate it better, and it wasn't such a strain on my body, you know, because the pain had gotten to the point before I got on the herbs and everything that sometimes I didn't know my own name, and I mean that literally. You know, we say that a lot of, boy, I was so tired or whatever, you know, I felt so bad, I didn't know my name. I literally didn't know my name, that trying to cope with this pain. And, I would say the past 6 months, my body has responded better, I think it has taken me a long time because of all the chemicals and things that has been pumped in my body over the years that I thought was supposed to be helping me. And I feel like in the long run, it may have helped some symptoms at the moment or at the time, but it never helped the conditions. And, you know, I mean, I felt like that this time, they told me when they took the gallbladder out and after when they finally finished the hysterectomy and everything, they said they were all shriveled up, like, you know, and like the organs were literally shriveling up and dying. And they said it looked like old something, you know how we get, you know, when you get real old and wrinkled. They said that's what my insides looked like. They were old and wrinkled and the gallbladder had just collapsed. And they said it was just full of, they called it a sludge. They said that's what it just looked like, a sludge, that my, you know, my kidneys started failing on me. And the pancreas, you know, that was getting, you know, had gotten worse and worse. But, you know, the medical doctors kept telling me there was nothing they could do. They just told me to get my thing, you know, everything in order and get ready to die. But I'm telling you, I thank God for allowing me to come in contact with this, because I would not be here today if it wasn't for it. And I believe that. And my son needed me. I have to, you know, I'm divorced and I've had to raise him by myself. And, you know, I had to live in order to be able to take care of my son and be here for him. And I don't think I would have been here, you know, these last couple of years if it hadn't been for getting on these herbs. And I'm telling you, I read everything that I can.
Thanks.
Getting, you know, on the nutrition and different remedies I've seen, you know, but natural stuff now. And I really believe, Steve, that this is why I'm alive today.
Thanks, Gloria. Well, we're going on to greater and better things, that's for sure.
Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
If I could have one person listen to me and it could change them, give them something to fight for life and not just give in to death, because that's what the doctor said. They told me, get ready to die. But I wasn't ready to die. I wasn't going to give up, and I wasn't going to sit down and say, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait to die. I wanted to live, but I didn't know how to fight with until I also believe God brought it into my life with all this, the natural way of life and restoring your body.
God bless you, Gloria.
He does.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And now I'd like to have a testimony from Mildred from Indiana.
Yes, I was just like to praise and thank God for that I got a lymphocyzer in time for my mother. She woke up about a couple of weeks after I'd gotten it in the middle of the night, and she was choking. She could not get her breath, and she had a terrific amount of pain under her heart. And I asked her if she wanted to go to the hospital, because I didn't know if I could get her on the lymphocyzer, but finally the pain got so terrific that I convinced her that she should get on the lymphocyzer. She was only on there for a few minutes, and the pain went away. She's 80 years old, and so she still looks at the lymphocyzer and wonders what happened. And it was just a blessing, because it was in the middle of the night.
How about that? Thank you, Mildred. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
You take care of yourself. Okay, we're now going to have a testimony from Tony from Utah. You ready, Tony? Please.
I found these techniques very helpful to me in several ways. Some of those experiences that mean the most I'd like to share with you. One time I had gone into my car. It was on a hot summer day, and my window was rolled down, and I was in a hurry, and I went to jump in the driver's seat and shut the door and did a really stupid thing. I still can't imagine how I did it. Nevertheless, I left my index finger in the track of the door and slammed the car door, and slamming my index finger completely in the door. The door was shut tight. It didn't just bang. It was shut. I realized mainly because of the pain what I had done, and couldn't imagine how stupid I was for doing this. Nevertheless, I opened it up, and the first thing I did is grabbed it with my opposite finger and surrounded the finger with my hand as tight as I could, and I was only a few blocks from home, so I decided, since it was a very hot day, to sit in the car, that I would drive home as best I could holding it, and then I would apply the brush techniques to it. I got home, came in, looked at my finger. It was very mangled. I was lucky that it hadn't ripped up the skin a great deal. It had scratched it, but it was immediately going black. And the nail was mangled as well. I began to apply the brushing techniques across the top and laid it on my lap. As long as I continued to do that, I didn't have very much pain. If I stopped, I would feel the blood and fluid rushing into my finger, and it would begin to throb greatly. I did that for over an hour. I would have liked to have continued, but I needed to teach a piano lesson. My student came, so I had to stop. I tried to do it intermittently. Nevertheless, even doing that just for an hour, I had no swelling with my finger at all. I had no black marks, no discoloration of the nail. The only thing that was wrong, I had full use of my finger, did not swell, was the knuckle. I think I must have really damaged the nerve center in my knuckle. For several weeks, if I would just even touch the top of my knuckle, I could feel a little electric shock shoot through my finger. But other than that, my finger was completely normal, free of pain, free of swelling, free of any black and blue marks. A few weeks after that, I was in the doctor's office and had seen a fellow whose finger was swollen huge and mangled and black, and I said, "My goodness, what did you do to your finger?" And he said, "Well, the silliest thing, I shut the door on it in the upper track." He had done the exact thing I had done. I felt so sorry for him. I didn't say anything to him because it was too late at this point. It was so seriously damaged, he needed the doctor's care. But I thought to myself, oh, if he had only known a very simple technique, he could have avoided a lot of pain to his finger.
So his was all mangled and yours wasn't?
No, yeah.
How about that?
His was black and blue, and he was losing his nail, and it was really swollen and very painful. Another, just a small type of an example, is we were on an outing on the Heber Creeper with some friends in an open car, and a wasp flew in and stung their little girl who was just 2 years old. She began screaming because it was so painful, and that where it had stung her, it began to swell quite fast. And I said, "Let me see your little girl." And I put her on my lap and held her hand down, or just told her to lay her hand on her lap, and I began to stroke it. And as long as I would stroke it and do the brushing technique on her, she didn't cry. She was just two, so we knew then that helped the pain because she was just screaming. By the time we got to Heber, you could no longer see where the wasp had stung her. You would have to take her hand and hold it real close to your eye, and you could see a tiny little hole, but there was no swelling. And that really convinced her parents that that was... So apparently that moved the poison out, I guess. I don't know, but it took away the pain, and it didn't swell at all. Also, I had an experience with one of my sons when he was a year and a half old. We were in an elevator of a major store here, and as people entered the elevator, they pushed us closer and closer to the front of the elevator. When the door opened, my baby, I didn't notice, had his hand right flat against the door, and the door sucked his hand in. As it opened, it sucked his hand inside the elevator door between the elevator door and the wall, and the people saw it and were standing in the way of the door as it opened and panicked and went into shock, and I couldn't get them to move out of the way of the door so I could shut the door and get his hand out. Finally, I pushed the emergency button ringing on the elevator, and a man came out of nowhere, saw the situation, and literally with his muscle power grabbed the elevator door the best he could and got my son's hand out. It was quite severely mangled in the middle, It had just cut right in the middle of his hand, and being young, he had cartilage. It wasn't bleeding or anything. It was, and it wasn't even cut, but it was really smashed. I just took him out, and I thought, well, I'll apply the brushing techniques just because he was screaming in pain, and then I thought, I'll take him to the hospital. I sat down and just started brushing, and as long as I brushed it, he didn't cry. He was very happy for me to do that. And it took me, I'm not sure the amount of time, I think it was probably a half hour to 45 minutes that I stayed there in the store just outside the elevator brushing that. But as I did, the indention and smashed part of his hand slowly raised up and got less and less and less until he was fine. There was no black marks. There was no bleeding or bruising. He was able to fully use his hand and was happy and content. So I could not see any further damage, did not take him to the doctor because he seemed fine, and it's been fine ever since. He's 10 years old now.
What a wonderful story.
So my husband has used also the techniques for his back and his spine. He has a scoliosis. He has one leg longer than another. He's gone through a lot of techniques to try to manage that through lifts and the shoe and so forth. None have been very helpful. But since learning the techniques that Dr. West teaches of putting the right hand down at the base of the spine and left hand at the top and through bouncing, he has used this for years. It's probably been about 11 years now. And for a regular maintenance for him, keeping his back free of pain and spasms, it has helped. He has not had to go to a chiropractor to maintain his back as far as his problem is concerned.
Isn't that wonderful?
Now, if he was injured, I'm sure that it'd be different. But as far as maintenance, it has really blessed him. And anytime he gets to developing any kind of pain, he just does the technique and it's fine. I was also in a minor car accident where I had a whiplash. And my neck, by the time I got home, was so stiff I could not turn it from side to side. It hurt so bad. And I just got on the Sundancer and used the neck brushing technique that Dr. West teaches, and I had to do it all day. I probably got on the Sundancer for 5 minutes at a time, probably 20 or 30 times, but by the end of the day I had full use of my neck back without any pain left and the stiffness left. So we find his techniques really a blessing.
Well, I'm astounded. I was expecting one testimony, and you've given me a flood.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
Okay.
And now we have a testimony from Barbara of Mesa, Arizona. Barbara, would you like to share with us?
Certainly.
Thank you.
My mother was about 76 years old, approximately, at the time. She had had such bad cramps in her legs and in her back that she walked on a walker or else with hand crutches. And she wasn't able to take care of herself at this time, so I had a bed for her in the living room of my home because she couldn't get up and down by herself. But she was beginning to get in such pain that she was stooped over from the hip. She couldn't straighten up at all. And I had taken her into a chiropractor in Mesa, and he told me that she just had one leg shorter than the other, and that she should put a rubber boot in her shoe to help her straighten up her, level her out. And she was still in this kind of pain when I took her home. And Corwin came to visit one day while she was in this kind of pain, and he said, well, let me show you something. And so he put his thumbs together on her hip and showed me the length of her legs, and so he started to stroke her legs. And within, just a few minutes, maybe 20 minutes, he was able to get the movement in her legs. And probably within a half an hour to 45 minutes, she was able to stand up and walk around the room. I would stroke her every so often for the next few days after that, but within a week's time, she was walking without her crutches and without any more pain in her legs. I feel this has been a great help to her because it put her in much comfort where she had been in a lot of pain.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Right. Now I have a testimony from Joy in Bentonville, Nevada. Are you there, Joy? Okay, tell your story.
All right. Well, one time when I was at the park, it started raining a little bit, and the equipment was a little bit wet. And when I got up to get off of a merry-go-round, I slipped on the wet surface, and I fell with all of my weight on the middle finger of my left hand. I knew right away it was broken because I became so dizzy and nauseated, but I didn't look at it, I just grabbed it because I'd just been to a seminar with Dr. West a couple of weeks before that, and I remembered what he taught us, so I grabbed that finger and held on tight. I kept my head between my knees for a few minutes, and then finally my husband got us loaded into the car, and we were traveling an hour away to a rodeo that day. And as we were driving, he wanted to look at it, but for 10 or 15 minutes, it hurt too much to let go. And then finally, the pain eased up quite a bit, so I took my hand off, and we looked at it, and we saw that it was broken in two places, both above and below the knuckle, and the bones were pressing up against the skin. It started hurting so greatly after I'd let go, I grabbed it again really quick and held on, and the pain started easing again. And we didn't let go of that for 5 hours, both my husband and I. We took turns either holding it or rubbing it for the next 5 hours. And after that, it looked to be straight. The bones seemed to be set. But we continued to hold it some more. We didn't want to take a chance. So for 3 more hours, we took turns holding the finger. And at the end of that time, there was absolutely no pain, and I could bend the finger. It looked completely normal. The next morning, the finger was just a little bit stiff, but after an hour or two, the soreness went away, and the fingers never bothered me again. So I was pretty grateful that I'd gone to that seminar with Dr. West, and it saved me a lot of pain and trouble and money, too.
Well, Joy, thank you very much. I'm sure that this testimony will give a lot of people a lot of faith to use this new way of self-help healing. Thank you so much. Okay, and now we'll have a testimonial from Celeste, and she is in St. George, Utah. Okay, Celeste, you there?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, tell your story.
About 5 months ago, I discovered I was not a...
But just to speak a little louder, Celeste.
Okay, 5 months ago, I discovered that the doctors discovered that I had a tumor growing in my uterus, and also had a condition known as adenomyosis. And I had a large ovarian cyst on my right ovary. Told that I needed to have surgery. Actually, I was told about a year ago, just for the one condition known as adenomyosis, that I needed to have a surgery. That was last May, and this is now April of 1990. I did not choose to go in for surgery. I chose to use ulterior methods of healing. I went and spoke to my medical doctor, explained to him that I wanted to use a system known as lymphology and natural healing to help heal these conditions rather than going for surgery, and he agreed to work with me. And he did an ultrasound and documented the size of the tumor and the ovarian cyst, and said that we would just keep a close contact on it while I proceeded with the lymphocyting. I guess what started the whole thing was, I would say, probably improper breathing. I was not breathing very deeply due to a gallbladder surgery I had had previously, and from that time on, I started breathing very shallow. And it wasn't but about a year or two after that that I guess, began to develop these conditions in my uterine area. Through the process of lymphocyting now for the last 5 months, the last time I went in to see the doctor, and he did the ultrasound, which was just a week ago Friday, they discovered that the ovarian cyst was completely gone, and the tumor was a little bit smaller, and it had been growing at a very rapid rate. So by lymphocyting and diet and proper breathing, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I can say that I am on the right track, and the medical doctors are even willing to work with me and document my progress. So I know that science works, and I hope that the world will soon learn about this and implement these wonderful teachings that Dr. West has taught here.
Celeste, thank you so much for that wonderful testimony again. This is going to give people a lot of faith to use these wonderful self-help healing techniques. Thank you so much.
With this new science, you will learn how to activate the lymphatic system in every organ and every part of your body to speed up the healing processes faster than you have ever dreamed possible. Thank you for wanting to know more about this new self-help healing science. This knowledge will save you a lot of time, a lot of pain, and a great deal of money.